Still, I'm still muted. There we go. All right. That was fantastic. Thank you very much for that, worship team. I'm excited. This has been one of those really good weeks that I've had nothing but fun things occurring. I got a golf on Monday, and I found out very quickly on Tuesday and Wednesday how out of shape I really am, as I could barely function. It was bad news. And on top of that, the Stampeders absolutely destroyed the Eskimos in back-to-back games. So that's pretty fantastic, right? No, okay. I'm going to start off by just talking, like, welcome back, by the way, for those who are on vacation and such, because, you know, we're back to reality and school and work, and that's always exciting. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Brad. I'm new around here. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself first before I get into the sermon. I was born in Tabor, like corn country, hey? Yeah, good times. And I spent my first 6 years in a place called Vauxhall. And I've got an older brother who's 2 years older than I am and a twin sister. Three most common questions asked of me: are you identical? No, I thought I said twin sisters, so, you know, just checking. Another one that I always really appreciate is, do you know what she's thinking and feeling right now? No, I also don't know that. And then another one would be, what does it feel like to be a twin? Great question. What does it feel like not to be a twin? I don't know. I don't know these. I don't have the answers for them. Sorry, that's just a little minor issue I have with some questions that people face this with. Anyways, I grew up in this awesome household. We went to church right from the get-go, and it was great. We were truly blessed with the parents that we had. My brother, he's a big guy, right? He's my size, but he actually has muscle mass to him. And he's been struggling a bit with some of his faith journey lately. He suffers from a rare disease called Addison's. And what happens is it kills your adrenal gland, and it makes it so you can't really function in kind of the high-paced life. An amusement park ride could literally probably put him in a coma and kill him, right? So that's pretty crazy stuff. And we just love on our family so much. And I was so blessed by my family. I know in my teen years, I started to struggle and kind of walk away from the faith. You see, when I was 5 years old, I accepted Christ, right? And that was a big deal for me. My great-grandma, we would always go to her house in Calgary, and she would have this little tea party with us. We'd be so excited by it that she would just want to spend time with us. And every time we sat down, she would always ask me, Brad, have you accepted Jesus yet? And I'd be like, no, I'm too busy, I have to play, right? And off I'd go, and I'd run and do my thing. And eventually, I accepted Jesus because of her guiding and directing, obviously, the Holy Spirit's role in my life. But the teen years hit, and I kind of lost perspective of that. And I started to kind of get into trouble, and I was involved in people groups that weren't the best. And I really walked away from Jesus at that point in time. As I got into my early 20s, I was making even more questionable decisions. And I was being even more hurtful to the person that I am. I got involved heavily in the bar scene. And as I started to go deeper and deeper down this path, God finally interceded and said, Brad, you know what? This life isn't for you anymore because you're dead right now. And I did. I felt really dead inside, you know. I'd go around from place to place looking for acceptance, looking for any kind of life, and being like, am I accepted here with this people group? Am I accepted this with this one? And I'd just keep going around and doing crazy things in order to get the approval and acceptance of people, lost in a sea of loneliness, lost completely. My life was just in shambles. And like I said, I just felt dead to the world. And I just didn't feel respected at all. One day, all of a sudden, God called out to me. It's funny, he had to use his own voice because I wasn't listening to the people around me. My mom kept leaving prayer cards in front of my room every night, just saying that she's praying for me and wants my journey to come back to God. And I'd just like kind of collect those cards and stack and be like, that's nice, thanks, Mom. But I wouldn't do anything with them. And then finally God audibly interjected. And as I'm sitting there one night to be the designated driver, he's just like, this is not your life anymore. I'm just like, wow, this isn't my life anymore. Jesus is your life. I'm going to turn to John chapter 1, starting at 1 to 4. And before I go there, I just want to pray for us. Lord, just thank you for everything that you give us, just life, the ability to be around people and laugh and love and get to know more and more people and grow our circle of friends. Let's pray that we turn harder to you and we allow more of your Holy Spirit upon our lives. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, looking at John chapter 1, we've been through this several times and we're going to continue to do that over the next few weeks. And here's how it goes, starting verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. We're going to be analyzing life today, but there's two major themes that come out in these verses alone, and that's life and light. And today we're going to really analyze the life aspect of that, and next week we're going to be looking at light. John 14:6 says this, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is stuff that we need to reflect on and realize that the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. A lot of us have heard the like kind of ramblings and other sayings that people have that, oh, when we all gather together and worship, you know, when this church group gets in this temple or this Muslim group gets together, we're all technically worshiping the same God. No, we're not. Absolutely not. It's nowhere close. Jesus is defined as the only way to the Father. If you don't actually see him as the Son of God, big trouble there. That is not good. We know that Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, they do not see him as the Son of God, as an actual incarnation of God in the flesh. Jesus is our passage to God. He is our life. John 5:39-40 says this, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that testify on your behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. No matter how we live, we fall short of receiving life by our actions. Think about that. Think about what's being said at that point in time. No matter how we live, no matter what we do, we are falling short of exactly what God has set before us. It frustrates me to no end sometimes when I hear kind of the Pharisaic legalistic group get all wound up about certain dynamics and things that we're doing in church or not doing in church versus the way that we should be, which is focused on Christ and loving in those ways. We like to play the rule game and look at this as a giant rule book versus a relationship book. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt love, though. Jesus' life, he demonstrates us how to be that life. He lives it out. John 10:28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. No matter how I behave, no matter what I'm doing. If I believe in Jesus, I have that eternal life. Yes, there is a call for us to be holy. Don't get me wrong. We should be striving to live a life obedient to God. But we all have sin. We all have something that blocks us and preventing us from getting to God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. John 10 continues on, and I'm just paraphrasing here, and it just kind of says, sorry, I just lost myself here. It just kind of talks about the life that Jesus gives to us. It's just fantastic. As there's 35 different times in the book of John that talks about life and the life that Jesus gives us. And if we analyze the book of John even more, there's 15 more times that he uses a verb that's associated with life. Jesus is life. That is something that we need to get into our brains and central to today's topic. Jesus is life. So we're left with this question then. What does it mean to say that Jesus is life or the way of life? And if we look at the Jewish reader, they would see this and immediately turn towards Genesis. Genesis 2:7 says this, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." God formed us out of dust from the earth. We're like dirt clods. We're just dust. The things that, like, you know, when you get all panicked and worked up about when company's coming over and you got the little Swiffer out, you're like, oh, gross, there's dust everywhere. And you're trying to get rid of it. That's what we are created from, dust, dirt clods. I have to laugh because I think of a story of when we were at John and Doris's and we're wandering around the yard and we just let Isaiah run around. If you know that, if you know Michelle and I, that's a little tough for us to do because of the journey we've had with Isaiah. And just sometimes we're like the helicopter parents a little too much and we really pray hard for that to go away, right? Because we know that's not good parenting. Well, anyways, we let him run around, and he's running around in his garden, and it's freshly tilled. It's super soft, and he's kind of sinking in with every waddle or every run that he's taking. And he eventually falls down in the dust. And he's even more city than I am, right? So he gets up, and he just looks at his hands. And he's just staring at the dust and the dirt in his hands. And then he looks at us, looks at his hands, looks at us. And he's just appalled and disgusted by the dust that's in his hands. And I'm like, wow, buddy, you are seriously a city kid. That is unbelievable. That's unfortunate. I used to eat dirt as a kid. What happened that he's just appalled by this? But this is the stuff that we're created out of. We're created out of dust. We're created out of dirt clods. It's breathed into by God's Spirit. So fantastic. So fantastic. He breathed life into us. He saw us as something that's so special that he took something so ordinary, something that we see as disgusting and grimy, and created something extra special. Something that was, when he formed, if you go through the book of Genesis, and he's creating everything, he's like, oh, that was good. That was good. When I created that, that was good. And then he comes to humanity, he's like, that's very good. We're that special to him. He formed us. He created us. The little dust clods, the little dirt clods that we are. And he breathed life into us. And he did that knowing fully well that we would attempt to separate ourselves from him. That we would walk away and live our own lives. That we would be the people like me who's in the bar and kind of, you know, lost and just trying to find life anywhere, grasping for it. It's crazy as I look at society nowadays, I just see the fact that society is grasping out, looking for life everywhere they possibly can. Think about all the things that rock the media nowadays. It's just people looking for attention, looking for any sort of, I'm here, hello, give me attention. Like the young lady that I was involved with at Stettler who was looking to become a transgender. Just crying out for attention. She figured out her ways very quickly when she found Jesus and was like, that's the life I need, not the one of the lost identity. It's unbelievable because we identify ourselves by the things we're capable of, the things that we're so good at, or maybe other people see us as, right? My brother, like I was saying, he suffered from this Addison's disease, but before that, he was a hockey player. He was a guy that was played a major junior level for, I think it was the Medicine Hat Tigers and Kamloops Blazers. That's a pretty elite level of hockey. So he identified himself as a hockey player. When he got cut, his world was shattered. There's a hole in the wall at my parents' place in the basement that he punched in there from his anger because his identity was lost. How many of us have that where we just picture ourselves? Our life is defined by who we are as a person. I'm this. Or people have said this about me. That's who I am. And that's what we see. Instead of turning towards Jesus, who's like, hey, I breathe life into you dirt clods, right? Like, there's no offense. There's nothing special about you guys. You're dust. But the thing that makes you special is that I love you. No matter how awesome we are, how great we are, in the end, we're just dust. But Jesus loves us so much. He gave us life through dust. Did you know that in the book of Job, dust is actually mentioned 22 times? And it talks about the littleness of man. That's unbelievable. But in Psalm 103:14, this is where it starts to get really cool. This is David, or one of the psalmists, or saying, for he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. And in paraphrasing the rest of that, we see that dust that exalts itself is hateful, but dust that acknowledges its dustiness finds favor in the sight of the Lord. The fact that we can acknowledge that, you know, there's nothing that Brad can do that makes him better in the eyes of Jesus, that's pretty awesome. I'll have some good weeks, I'll have some bad weeks. Like when I was golfing the other day, I actually had a good week, but that doesn't define the person that I am. That's not where I find my life. It's not found in the good things that I've done. And we can talk about dustiness all we want, but the real meat of what John has prepared for us is in the breath that is given to us by God. In Genesis 2, we had already talked about that. He breathed life into the little form dust ball that he had there. No matter how much we try and clean our houses, there's just dust around. But when God's breathing upon us, taking that breath, breathing it into us, it creates life and something extraordinary. Something that's more than what we're just trying to get rid of all the time. Everybody just take in a deep breath. How did that feel? How did that feel to take that deep breath, knowing full well that God was the one that started that? That's so amazing. He uses his Holy Spirit to breathe life into us in a physical form, a physical body, and we have this physicality because of what God has done for us. That is so awesome. In English, when we take a look at some of these things like breath and Holy Spirit, and even in combination with the Word, there's no connection with them. But in Hebrew, the word ruach, I probably didn't pronounce that right, like I didn't get the ch in there enough, but the word ruach is the same word used for spirit and breath. So in Hebrew, immediately, they're kind of, the Jewish people would be like, man, this is fantastic. We got breath. We got spirit working. That is so cool. I remember watching this kind of crazy video put together by Rob Bell, and I'm not a big fan of his theology anymore because he kind of ventured off of where he should be. But he has this video from way back in the day, and it just talks about how every time you breathe, you're literally saying God's name every time. With the Hebrew, Yohavoha, is what means I am or God. Fantastic. Every breath we take is pointing towards God. The life that we have. That is so cool. Every breath that we have. It's the spoken words that we have. We breathe. We're able to speak. There's probably some times that you wish that, you know, your significant other would just kind of be drained of a little bit of breath so then you don't have to listen to them speak. right? Like Michelle could probably testify to that one. I'm reminded of this time when I was in grade 4 or 5 and I'm on, you know, those tire swings that they have at the playground. And we used to have competitions to see how high we could go. And in one of those competitions, me and another buddy, we're just outworking the other team, clearly. Nothing I was doing, because my friend was actually very good at somehow pumping the tire. And the chains on the tire broke. We got sent flying through the air. I was kind of sitting down in a weird fashion, so my back landed directly on the tire. I couldn't breathe. Everyone is asking, how are you doing? What's hurting? That's all I could get out was just a gasp of air. There was nothing I could say at that point in time. The word has so much to do with our breath, with our speaking. It's so unreal. It's all we can do is gasp sometimes when we lose it. But here we have God breathing life into us. Right? He brought life into us. God brought forth life in man by speaking the word of life, which we know to be Jesus. John is very clear of that one, and we know that in chapter 1, verse 14. In such a way, he breathes on us that the spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, passes into man and causes breath. It's quite the process of creation, if you ask me. It's unbelievable to think how intricate and how involved that really is in creation. And that's where I'm just like, why would you not want to turn towards a God that is so relationally wanting to turn to us, that he gives us that life? Just gives us breathing in life for us. Psalm 139:13, for it is you who have formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Formed, created is what we are. We're given life by the Spirit, his Holy Spirit. What a powerful message of love God has sent to us. He gives us life in the first place. Then he comes in the flesh himself, experiencing all that we kind of experience, exposing himself to kind of diseases and nastiness, physical harm. And he dies on the cross for us in order that we may have eternal life with him. How awesome is that? God just doesn't want us to have that physical kind of life, though, right? He wants us to have a spiritual life as well. Hence, he leaves behind his advocate, his Holy Spirit, for us. And the cool part is, in chapter 1, we start to see how that is, because we see that God has life in him and leaves it to expose the darkness through the light. Ephesians 2:1-9 says this: you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast. That is so fantastic, in the fact that, like, God did this all for us. He emptied himself out for us, taking upon the wrath that we so much deserved, in order that we may have eternal life, so that we could have spiritual life. When we make that decision, when I was 5 years old and I was with my great-grandmother and I'm praying on my knees with her, accepting Christ into my life, I'm bringing in a new life through Jesus Christ. It's not the same old life that I once had before. It's a new life. A life that is refreshed, a life that is more than the fleshly desires that I once craved at one point in time. And yes, of course, I did stumble along the way. But God still sought me out and found me. That life, when we make that prayer, is one that we grasp onto and say, Jesus, I want you to take a hold of this life. Not through anything that I've done, but through you and your Son. It is so cool that Jesus would take that on for us. We have no right to boast. We're just dirt clods. We're people that, like, we're formed out of dust. We're given life, we're breathing life into in a physical fashion, and then we're given a spiritual life as well. You see, we can look at it, and we're actually dead spiritually if we don't have Jesus in our lives. When I'd walked away from the church, when I walked away from Jesus, I was dead. I felt that way too. And I promise you, most people that you talk to who even claim to be atheist or agnostic will still feel dead in some fashion. There's a reason why we have these struggles and cryouts in the world, as depression's at an all-time high, as anxiety is just through the roof with people. Because no one's no longer grasping onto Jesus as the one, but they're grasping onto themselves and their own lives and saying, this is who I am, this is my life, I'm identified by this. We've literally made it so our bodies have chemically started producing negative things. Depression has become a chemical thing. Same with anxieties. And it starts from when we're right young. If we start grasping to Jesus right from the get-go, if we rejoice in who he is, in their struggles, in our worries, what a powerful message we would have when people look upon a church that no longer abides by the world and kind of gets depressed with it, but one that is filled with joy. I look towards the church of the Philippi, excuse me, and just exactly what was going on there is they're being persecuted and hammered. And Paul's there saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Instead of suffering and boo-hooing, Paul's there saying, rejoice in it. We're talking about a guy that spent most of his life in prison for the sake of the word. And he's there spending that time just, I can't imagine what prison would be like back in the day. Nowadays, they have all these rights and they get to watch TV and such. But back in the day, it's like, it would just be miserable. And there he is, and he's saying, rejoice in it. And I look at maybe sometimes how we react towards things, and we're like, oh, woe is me. This is happening right now in life. Instead of grasping onto the fact that we were dust and God has breathed life into us, hallelujah. The fact that I got to spend any time on this earth in any fashion is amazing. The fact that God actually heals us through his word and through what he's done on the cross, that's amazing. Instead of looking at like some of the circumstances that we're faced with and getting down about it, we should be stoked for life and the fact that we can actually have change through prayer. We can have change through seeking him out and bringing on this new life that we have in Jesus. So awesome that we have life because of him. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, it talks about the eternality of life and how it was given to us. It says this, and this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He came just so we could have further life. That is so amazing. Breathing life into dirt, and now giving us even more to spend eternal life with him. Not only that, we have abundant life that he faces us with and says, I want you to be filled with joy. Terry was kind of pointing that out earlier today. Abundant life. A life that no longer is caught up in misery and woe, one that can be like upset about our circumstances, but one that looks at our life and says, yes, I have Jesus. I have an amazing family. They're very strange. They're weird, but they are amazing. And I'm sure all of us could say that about our family. They're strange and weird, but so amazing. Our church family, new, but so amazing for us. I look at the way that they used to function back in the day of, like, you know, the early Genesis time with Abraham and such, and how the church was actually more of a family than we would ever realize. As they reached out to each other and they helped raise each other's kids in an amazing community. I think about that and I'm like, that is so cool. As we should be greeting everybody that comes through the door like family and be like, it's so great to have you here. I don't care if we have any differences, right? You can figure out what I enjoy very easily. All you have to do is walk up into my office and be like, okay, this guy likes sports. He's ridiculous. But it doesn't matter. That shouldn't be the thing that defines me as a person. Should be able to approach all of you as family and be like, I love you no matter what. I like the fact that you play video games. I like the fact that you just like to garden. I like the fact that you farm, whatever it is. We should support and love each other as a family. We have abundant life that Jesus offers before us. And it's time that we start grasping onto that, not only individually, but in a family sense as well. Once again, looking at Philippians 4, verses 4 to 5, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Our journey is more than just about us. Think about the impact we can have on other people just through simple actions, through things that we do in life. People like to put Christians under a microscope. That'll shock you guys, but anytime you say that you're a Christian, you're immediately in the spotlight. Why? Because there's expectations to be a certain type of person then. They expect a new life. They don't expect a worldly life. They expect a new life before them. And as I look at some of the things that have happened in the world lately, I know this probably doesn't talk for around here, but I just question whether the North American church grasps the concept of a new life. Something that seems to have disappeared from the North American church is the idea that we have access to the Father because of the Son and through the Holy Spirit. Our prayer has now become more of like a petition or a wish list. Dear Jesus, I want this, this, and this. Amen. Rather than a relationship and a way to an abundant life. We no longer turn towards the Psalms and seeking out praise, bringing praise to the Father. We seek him out going like, hey, which one was the one where David was upset again? Where was that? I like that one. What about the ones that talk about life that God has given? It's so amazing that we are dust clods that are given such phenomenal life. In Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3, most of us probably know this one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Our life is found in Christ in both the physical and spiritual sense. You see, in that psalm, the shepherd makes it so there's no want. How many times have we looked to Jesus, our shepherd, and said, I have no want in that way? Apparently, as I was doing some research on this, sheep actually don't drink or eat when they're lying down. I've never even heard of that before, but apparently that's a thing. They won't eat or drink while lying down. They literally have to stand up in order to do that. How many of us are content in just lying in Jesus? And just be like, yes, you have given me life. I have life because of you. I have a spiritual life because of you. I have physical life because of you. And yes, our physical life sometimes can be like, meh. But it's about the spiritual life that we have, the eternal one, because of what Jesus Christ would do on the cross. As I reflect back on my time when I was going through my struggles and such, I can't help but look at that and just be grateful for where I am right now. I can't help but look at the dead feeling that I had inside when I was just kind of doing my own thing, when I was seeking out the approval of anyone. We have such a powerful message. We have such a powerful thing to bring to people. And it's time to start demonstrating that life that we have to give. One thing that, like, kind of, it's funny, going through the stuff with Isaiah, he took a lot of, what are those, donations for blood, right? So he took a lot of them. And as I started breaking that down, I'm like, wow, I need to start giving blood, right? Because I can actually do it. And I've got, like, O positive blood or something like that, so it's the most common type. I'm like, why wouldn't I do something like that? And it's just simple thoughts like that that can be infectious towards other people when they see things that stand out that normally shouldn't be there. And that's how it worked for me when I was like, man, this person donated blood to my son. That is so cool. I'm going to go out and do it. And then I started doing it. And that's how our church should function as well. Demonstrate the life that we are given through Christ. And go out and simply show it. Rather than being caught up in worldly things. Be caught up in the kingdom things. The stuff that Jesus wants us to be in. Yes, I can be upset today that there was no coffee ready for me this morning when I woke up and be like, Michelle, really? Come on. That's not going to get me very far. Because I can look at it and be like, man, that is not a kingdom type life to be upset at Michelle for something like that. I can let that ruin my day. Or I could be like, you know what? I have life. It doesn't matter. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to have it. I'm excited to have both physical and spiritual life. And so as I think about it, I'm just like, man, I hope we all have kind of those aha moments throughout our weekly times where we're just like, I have life. I have life. And we spread that to the people that we come into contact with, our Tim Hortons person that's serving us who had a miserable day, our next door neighbor who, you know, leaves threatening messages on your car to damage them if you park in their spot again. Just those things. Rather than looking at the negative aspect, bring on the life of Jesus and be like, yes, I have life. I have it. And it's time for me to spread some of that life around. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and close us off here. I'll always say this, I've been so excited by the worship that's been brought here and such. It just connects with your heart. It brings life, right? Because it gets us going on the Holy Spirit and being like, man, Holy Spirit, come down. Bring us life. I'll just pray and then I've got a benediction after. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the life that we have. The fact that you took dust and breathed life into it, and the fact that we have life is something to rejoice and be excited for. It's something we should just be enthused about. And even more so is the spiritual life that you've given us and exposed us to, Lord. Let's pray that we all grasp that and that we worship you with all our beings. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.